Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
And this is Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Super cold morning. We'll update weather and all the top stories in just a bit. Let's get to our Week in Health segment, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Joining us, as always, Dr. Santina Wheat from Delner Hospital. Dr. Wheat, good morning, and I hope you're keeping warm wherever you are.
Good morning. Yes, I am staying warm this morning.
So let me ask the question that people say, why do you mention this? Everybody knows it's cold outside. Obviously, we everyone wants to stay as warm as possible. At what point, though, does it actually become dangerous to be outside?
Yeah, so it can be dangerous to be outside if you start to experience frostbite. If you're not staying warm enough, then the blood doesn't move through your body quite as well, and it can increase the risk of just regular activities of causing additional challenges with your heart and other things. So it becomes very serious very quickly. But the thing we worry about the most quickly really is that frostbite, thinking about your ears, your nose, your fingers, your toes.
How do you know when there is the onset of frostbite? Is there a way to feel that?
So sometimes you start to feel like a tingling sensation, or you start to not feel those areas. And then you can actually sometimes just start to see the color of your fingers and your extremities just start to change. And so we can see it happening.
What about breathing this cold weather? Is it dangerous for some?
For some people, it can be, especially for those who have lung disease already. And so it can be helpful to wear a scarf or something over your mouth to try to help warm the air up as it's coming in. But it's just one of those things that you might not want to stay out in it for too long.
All right. What about, is this the day that you let the kids go outside and play even for a little while, or is it just better to call this an inside day for the kids?
I mean, I would call this an inside day. I don't think it's wrong to go outside and play for very, very short periods of time. But by the time you get all bundled up to be warm enough to be out there, it probably is not worth it. So if you can have some good activities for them inside, then that would probably be the better choice.
Yeah. Now, what about, trying to warm yourself up? I mean, you come inside and your hands are, cold, hopefully not numb. If they are, you probably need to get to a doctor if they're numb, right? But some people might put their hands under warm water or hot water. Is that a good idea?
So usually I recommend not starting with hot water. That can actually cause more damage, particularly if you can't feel how hot it is. And so I recommend starting with cooler water and then getting it to start warming up slightly after that to let your body temperature rise up a little bit more slowly.
Okay. What about a warm beverage to cool us, to warm us up, I guess? I guess a hot chocolate would be mighty tasty or something, but some people are going to go for like a hot toddy or something with alcohol in it. That's not a good idea, is it? I mean, for warming up?
I mean, I agree with you. I would stay away from the alcohol for warming up. I don't think that something like hot chocolate, hot tea, hot cider, I think those are all great ways to warm up and get some fluids in us. The alcohol can make us obviously not as make the same decisions that we would have without alcohol. And so that is what I would be worried about. It also can cause you to be dehydrated as well. Yeah. And so we want to make sure that we're making good decisions and staying hydrated, particularly in these times.
All right. Very good. There's our mandatory cold weather warnings that we go over them all the time. But, people forget these things when they go outside. So take some necessary or obvious precautions. Flu numbers are up, right? That's a little bit disturbing. Not a surprise, I guess.
Yes.
But talk to me a little about that.
Yeah, so we are seeing rises in the flu pretty much all across the country. We haven't seen super high numbers here in Chicagoland yet, but it's definitely on the rise. And there, some other states are seeing much more than we are, and especially as people are thinking about starting to travel for holiday events, for spending time with their loved ones if their children have breaks. then we might be seeing that rise even faster. And this year, we do know that there is a different strain of the flu that's going around. And so some of us are worried that we will see it rise even faster this year, kind of like we did last year.
So, you know, smart precautions what are the precautions? Let me ask you then, how do we avoid getting the flu?
My first recommendation always is to consider getting the influenza vaccine. It doesn't always prevent you from getting the flu, but does help you not get as bad of an impact of the flu. And then past that, it's all of the normal things that we recommend for avoiding every virus out there, making sure you're washing your hands, making sure that you're getting good rest and eating well so that your immune system is as strong as possible, cleaning all of the surfaces around you that are especially high touch, thinking like the doorknobs, things that you touch often, your phone. We tend to forget about our phones sometimes. And then if you're going out in public and there's lots of people that are sick around you, consider masking up. And if you are sick yourself, stay home so that we're not spreading it to other people.
Yeah, what about the flu shots just before the holidays? We're 10 days away from Christmas. If you get your flu shot now, it should be taken effect by the time 12/25 comes around, right?
It'll be just about there. Usually we say it's about 2 weeks, so it's pretty close. Definitely would get you taken care of for the New Year's events that happen as well. So absolutely think it is still a good idea to get your flu vaccine. That will help for that. And then we often do see another wave of flu that comes in the new year, and so it would be helpful for protecting against that too.
Okay. Today is the fifth anniversary of the very first COVID vaccine that was ever administered. And, you know, it reminded me of those early days when, remember people standing in line for blocks and blocks and blocks to get a COVID vaccine? You know, it was like a big deal if you were able to get in someplace to get your COVID vaccine. That was 5 years ago. And the very first person was a woman out of, let me see here, I wrote it down, out of Long Island, New York. Sandra Lindsay was her name. She was the very first person to get the very first COVID vaccine. Now with all kinds of controversy, but I think the health community would still tell you it's a good idea to be vaccinated with, you know, the latest that's out there right now, because COVID, well, and it may not be the, you know, the same death sentence that it was in the very beginning. It still is pretty severe if you would happen to get COVID, right?
Absolutely. We still can see people that have severe lung complications, and more we're seeing people have impacts of lung COVID or inflammations for other things that worsened because they got COVID. And some of the new studies are coming out that are looking at the long-term effects of having that COVID vaccine. And when they look at how many times people went to the emergency room, how many times people went to urgent care, and even for healthy populations, so thinking young kids that are healthy, it still really helped prevent those trips to the ER. It helped prevent those trips to urgent care. And so as a mom, I would really love to not go to the emergency room with my children, and so being able to prevent that is a great thing.
Yeah, it's I remember so well these sad stories of people. Usually they were older people. Usually they were immunocompromised in some way, or they had some other illnesses that made them more susceptible to COVID, the fatality of COVID. These sad stories. A friend of mine at the time was working at the University of Illinois Hospital, and he was telling me, you know, what it was like to be in the hospital setting during all of that 5 years ago. And one co-employee of his 5 years ago was like set to retire in a month or something, and contracted COVID and died. And never got to retire. I mean, and there were sad stories like that all over the place then, back in the day. So, you know, I just, I think obviously everyone needs to make up their own mind about that. But get your COVID vaccines. This is my opinion.
I completely agree. And really, it's amazing what things make you higher risk that people don't think of. Not having a whole lot of physical activity, being a little bit overweight. Those are two things that are fairly common in our communities, and those make you higher risk. And so you might be higher risk than you think.
Yeah. Let me take a break. We'll come right back with Dr. Santina Wheat and answer your questions on the phone, 312-981-7200 on our text line. Same number, 312-981-7200. 9:53, the week in health with Dr. Santina Wheat with us, program director, McGaw Northwestern Family Medicine Residency, Northwestern Medicine, Delner Hospital. From our text line, 312-981-7200. We were just talking about this, Dr. Wheat, a few minutes ago, about going to the Bears game today. Ask Dr. Wheat her thoughts of being outside at Soldier Field in this cold weather for at least a three-hour Bears game.
Ooh, that does not sound like a great idea to me, but if you do go, I would just make sure you have lots and lots of layers and potentially to be able to switch out in case those bottom layers get wet so that you can make sure you're staying dry.
Oh, really? So if you begin to perspire under layers,
exactly,
you need to swap that out. So you need to sort of bring a change of clothes.
Yeah, especially for your socks and your gloves, I would want to make sure you can switch them out so that everything can stay dry because the cold plus the wet would make it even worse.
Okay, all right. 708 area code, we're getting into that time of year of holiday stress, shopping, family get-togethers, parties. What advice do you have to avoid holiday stress?
So I think that this is really different for everyone. And I think that the first thing that I would say is remember your own boundaries. Remember what is reasonable for you and try not to let peer pressure or family pressure get in the way. And so making sure that you're taking time to rest yourself, that you're taking time for yourself because we are often surrounded by more people during the holiday times. And then making sure that you're really resting, that you are eating well as much as you can. We mentioned the hot toddies earlier, trying to not overindulge because that can actually make the stress feel worse. And really just saying no sometimes to some of those events.
Yeah.
And just take that time for yourself.
A very wise person once told me about this very same thing where, you know, there may be a sibling relationship, which is not the greatest, and you know a fight's going to break out, or a parental relationship where you know that something is going to happen, or a work relationship, or, you know, something where you know that there could wind up being some holiday stress. This very wise person told me those are no-win situations, and the only way to win a no-win situation is to not play. Not play. Not exactly what Dr. Wheat said. Avoid those situations if you know that they are definitely going to happen.
And if you find yourself in them, unfortunately, then having a planned way to get out of them, to say, okay, I'm not going to talk about this, or to say, okay, it's time for our family to leave and we're going to go somewhere else, sort of have an exit plan that's right. Ready for you.
Yeah, sometimes those buttons just get pushed, though. You know what I mean?
We do.
I think we can all relate to that. 773 area code says, in this cold weather, my sinuses begin to become quite painful. Is there something wrong? Is that natural in cold weather?
That I will say that's one that I haven't heard described that way before, but I have had people that in this cold weather do just feel their sinuses more often. It's not necessarily that something wrong, but it does make me want to make sure that you don't have cold weather allergies or something else going on. And so I would recommend that you try to do some of the sinus treatments like the nasal saline spray, the nasal steroids, and if that is something that you normally deal with and sort of not let up on it. Some people think that when we're in the winter, we don't need those treatments anymore, but we often still do, and that might help with some of the discomfort.
Sinus allergies, did you say?
Yeah, we can still get allergies in the winter. Some of it is more the indoor-based thing. So maybe it's mold, maybe it's dust, maybe it's other things that are in your household. And so some people's allergies are actually worse in the winter than they are in the spring and summer.
Yeah, I was getting, back in the day, I used to get sinus infections all the time, all the time. And a ear, nose, and throat doctor recommended to me that I have sinus surgery. He said that you've had so many infections in your sinuses that there's scar tissue all over the place, and that's probably what was causing all of the infections. So I did have the surgery, and I don't think I've had a sinus infection since then. It was tremendously successful. Does that sound like good advice to you?
I mean, it sounds like great advice, especially since it helped you. But definitely, if you are someone who gets multiple sinus infections back to back, it is definitely worthwhile going to your friendly ENT and seeing if they can do some imaging to see if there have been some changes to your sinuses that need to be addressed, just like you just discussed. But if you're not that person that has had multiple infections, sometimes we can prevent them by doing some of the rinses, some of the allergy medications, and hopefully preventing it if you can.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. I mean, the saline rinse cleans things out pretty well, but there are other sprays that are that a lot of doctors will tell you don't use. Which are the ones that, not necessarily name brands, but what are the kinds of ones that you should avoid and why?
Well, there's some that are specifically marketed towards getting rid of the congestion. And the problem with them is that if you read the directions, they tell you to not use them more than 2 to 3 days. And that's really important because if you use them for longer than that, then you actually will start having the symptoms every time you don't use it. So your body doesn't learn how to deal with it on its own. And so you get more headaches, you get more sinus pressure because you aren't using it because it's almost, I don't want to say addicted to it, but your body has gotten used to it. And so it's really important to only use those in very short scenarios. I usually only recommend it like if somebody has to get on a plane or something like that. Instead, I will recommend the other things like the steroids and the saline spray to help clean it out.
Dr. Santina Wheat, always good to talk to you. Stay warm today. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You too. Have a great week.